Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And he said, do you have a tie? And I said, Metropolitan Club? He said.
His favorite place. Like, you talk like about it every time he takes
like a,
you.
Like a child.
Disneyland? So. That's funny. I want to go.
You would love it.
I'm a clubby kind of guy.
So we walk there.
Clubby. I love that environment. When I hung out with Porno Dan, I used to go to the rib joint, Famous Dave's, that chain.
When you went to the rib place with Porno Dan, were you allowed to eat or did you just have to watch him eat?
I was gobsmacked. I didn't even know what to say. I was blown away. And he was doing it in such a natural, thoughtful way to educate me.
Mm-hmm. There is one way you can always reply to a situation like that is you look him in the eye, and it's important you make eye contact, and you say, I don't know about that.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Come back, Mike. We need you.
That's a funny way to make a living. Even though I'm not making a living, but it's a funny way to make a living. Funny thing to do. Anyway.
Funny way to start your day.
But anyway, thank you.
Or your week for some.
Yeah, true.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
You can tell him. You can tell him. You can tell
him. Yeah, all right. No, just we'll get to it in a second. Let me welcome everybody.
Please.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everyone. I'm Mike O'Mara, your host. And sometimes things, because of my dark sense of humor, things make me laugh. Welcome to the show. Welcome to winter weather. Welcome to, we have officially down here become Northern Virginia, I think. I could be wrong. We'll get to all that on the show. Right before we came in, Oscar is dealing with a lot of employees of Podville Media who are
they're calling out because of the weather. Understand,
because
there
was a winter event over the weekend.
And, the federal government's closed, Mike.
The federal government is closed.
Do you see what this is, Mike?
What's that?
A snowball. Huh?
It's a real, he's right. It's a real snowball.
It's a real snowball. Okay. Right there.
All right. That's
boom.
Great.
See?
So the, Matt called us, texted us all this morning about being tardied. And then I said, what is, why were you late today, Mac? And Mac said, snow and illness. And Oscar's reaction was, Rob, I would describe it as less than sensitive.
Right? You know what word comes up a lot now, even more than ever in the past, is empathy. Yeah. And there wasn't a lot of empathy. He was not acting in an empathetic manner. He was, I think he tolerated the snow. Excuse.
But Max in the building with Oscar.
Yeah,
Max in the building, unlike the slackers at Podville.
Max, a Podville employee. Let's just be clear.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
That's right.
By the way, Mac would not have to be a Podville employee if more of you people donated to the show.
This is true. Buy more stickers.
We're off to a happy start. Max's situation is unique because, you know, off air, my actions speak louder than words, because I always tell him, if you're not feeling great, let me know. Mm-hmm. Off air. But he told us right as the show is about to start, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
but he texted that he was running late, which
yeah, but nice. He didn't tell us that he wasn't feeling good because of his Ashley Madison situation. So
what he should have done, Oscar, is more.
The last
said,
thing you want to do is jump into a foxhole with a guy that's bleeding out, right? We're about to start the show, and he's like, oh, by the way, I'm bleeding out. We're about to go into battle.
When he said the Texas morning, I'm going to be a little late, and then just subtly did an emoji of a thermometer? Or like the face
you,
with
you
the reflector
on. You don't even need to know that. That's the beauty of an operation. It could just be between myself and Mac. And then I'll know that I got to cover for him.
He told me before we even started today.
I would cover for him, right? Yeah,
but the culture of what we do is one of openness, where we share our issues. I shared an issue with you guys.
But you were kind enough not to make a big deal about it, right? You said, hey, this is dark. We're moving on. Yada, this and that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I shared something that was
really, and I can't say anything more about it, but it's kind of a win.
Because you were playing the long game, Mike.
Now, see, I'm just feeding off of Oscar right there.
You
a lot of inside
that,
stuff.
You
a lot
saved
of inside
on that
baseball.
Surgery I learned about from West Virginia University. By the way, kudos to WVU.
Yes.
What'd they do?
And their neuroscience, they're changing the world. Two things are happening.
What did they do? Did they accomplish something?
Yeah, 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes profiled them. First is they're using sound waves to, if not, I think in the long run, cure, but right now, stifle and mitigate the progression of Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
And they're literally using the same sonogram technology, you know, essentially souped up with some Nas from The Fast and the Furious, with lasers to kill the protein that is suspected and has been proven to be one of the culprits for the progression of Alzheimer's.
That's stunning.
That's amazing.
And when you talk about protons right down the street from where I live, I think it's a cancer facility, but they've got a proton delivery building, which that's now that is only the second time I've heard protons regarding medicine. And this building.
But this is sonogram.
Well, whatever it is,
or
heard proton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will tell you this, Oscar, that
this building that they put together, I think I mentioned it on the show once or twice.
Correct.
That they've got, it was extra thick walls and it's tubes and tunnels and all that. And I was watching, I said, what kind of vault is going on there? Mm-hmm. And so something might be up. And maybe
the amazing thing is, though, Mike, in Florida, they're predicting that building in 2 years will be a vape store.
And then down here, it's great.
The same neurosurgeon.
Yes.
By the way, who was profiled on 60 Minutes 20 years ago. So, you know, like his trajectory in life has been like straight up. Right.
Sure. Right.
So they're using this sonogram technology that's been souped up to help mitigate and slow down the progression and one day hopefully cure Alzheimer's. And then, and this is in conjunction with medicine and pharmaceuticals that have been approved to help and slow down, but also mitigate this protein production. The other side of it, they had this end-stage drug abuser on air. And end-stage means they've been through rehab multiple times. They've been they've relapsed multiple times.
They're on the verge of killing themselves.
Well, yeah. They've also overdosed multiple times. This is it. This was experimental.
End of the road.
This kid, young man, 31, goes in. They take the technology that they use for a pacemaker that this neurosurgeon was the first to break out of 20 years ago and has evolved. So, you know, someone actually having a pacemaker or some sort of device implanted to help with your epilepsy or any, you know, brain function. That implant they've recalibrated and reimagined to detect in the brain where that anxiety and addiction impulse is happening, triggering.
How is that done?
This is what you're going to love. They actually put microscopic microphones inside the area of the brain where they suspect this is happening. And when they hear what we would think is static, dead air at a high level, after stimulating the individual by showing them pictures of drugs and intravenous needles, when they hear that shh get louder, once they pinpoint that spot in the brain that's creating this like synapse.
Need.
Serotonin rush. Or
they essentially implant the device right there and then into the collarbone, and they've had 15 people do this, 10 people have remained clean, and this 31-year-old man sits there in front of you and says, this thing has saved his life.
Ooh,
and his
wow.
family.
I mean, how spectacular is that?
At WVU. Let's go Mountaineers.
Meanwhile, across campus at WVU, Robert is taking Spanish.
Good for him. I just think that's, you know, if you ever wondered about, would I be wrong in thinking that we have become a little more anti-intellectual in this country than
Absolutely.
We ever were?
Absolutely.
And when you talk about the lack of academic pursuits, this is it, gang. This is it. This is why you do it. This is what nose to the grindstone in the books. Nose in the books. This is what this can get you. And it, you know, it's not someone who necessarily is just touched by a higher being to be brilliant, which is also true, but there's work involved.
Oh yeah.
Painstaking work, meticulous work.
He's dedicated hours, his life to this.
Hours. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Just think, that's just spectacular to improve somebody's quality of life and then cure something that has been maybe touched everybody,
but at least most
people I know, including my own family, to have the baby of my brother-in-law's family pass because of Alzheimer's and to hear the stories about that, that's exciting. That's a great way to start the show, and it's a great way to begin today, because I think that we forget sometimes with all the BS that we care about. We forget that there are people doing this. And I don't know if we will ever achieve a world. I think we will. I think it'll be long after we're gone, but I think we will have a world someday where intellectual achievement, separate from something that can change people's lives for the better, just intellectual achievement in general, outside of Jeopardy, would be something where we can put people raise people up that have minds that are so wonderful, using so much of their minds that it lifts people up and lifts, they're able to accomplish really wonderful things. Because when you really add it up, I mean, I think the bottom line with science is improving people's quality of life.
Yeah.
If you improve everybody's quality of life, maybe you improve the way we interact with each other. Maybe you improve the human condition in general. That's the way I've always looked at it.
Well, happiness begets happiness. I mean, if you're happy, you're not going to be looking for trouble. I mean, that's perhaps dumbing it down too much. But
That was dumbing it down about as dumb as anybody can dumb something.
That's actually, Mike, that's the credo at WVU. It's in Latin, though.
Do you know why he went?
Can you repeat that by any chance so I can write it down?
If you're happy, you don't go out looking for trouble. It's true, though. If you're happy, you can stay home and
enjoy.
How
do you even graduate from Virginia Commonwealth University?
Because it's Virginia Commonwealth.
Who are you?
Do you think people go looking for trouble?
Yeah. If you go out and you
unhappy
commit,
people, he's right.
Yeah, if you mug somebody, if you rob somebody, if you bomb another country, you're looking for trouble. And you're going to get it, pal. You're going to get some trouble.
But on accident.
In reference to
I
this.
I never said that.
In
you
reference,
did too.
In reference to this addiction.
Ironically, yes.
This addiction conversation,
right?
You're not like it's this is clearly a disease.
Yeah,
and they say as much with it. We know this. We've talked about this. We live with this. It's in the show. For God's sakes,
in recovery, Oscar.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank
I saw
you.
Your how many months
today? 22 months today.
Thank you.
I like the term as opposed to the disease.
It is a disease, though.
I know, but I like to use the term self-medication. And I think when you're talking about the idea of...
You're looking for trouble.
Drugs, alcohol, addiction. You're talking about... And that microphone that's in the brain, you're showing somebody something that is indicative of freeing themselves from whatever their psychological condition is.
Mm-hmm.
Rob would probably back me up on this, where
you
drink because there's something bothering you, whether it be circumstances, depression, what have you. So when you see this, that noise in the person's brain represents an opportunity to take pain away.
Yep.
And when
That's
we
exactly
had
right.
the years and years ago, we had Johan Hari on the show. The book was Chasing the Scream, and he was talking about the failure of rehab. And the failure of rehab is that you would rehab people, get them off drugs, immediately put them back into a circumstance that is the same as putting an obese person that doesn't have any controls on it in a room full of pies and cakes. You're putting them into it's the wrong analogy. You're putting them back into a situation where they feel bad about themselves, so they compensate and try to feel good by eating, just like drinking, just like taking heroin,
Mike. Cocaine.
You're doing that if you put socioeconomically a person back in a hopeless situation where the only way they can feel any positivity in their life is by medicating themselves. That's what I mean by self-medication.
This young man, this is, I think, a common story, had a sports
injury.
You don't
have to be rich or poor to have that.
Yeah, yes. Was a standout high school athlete, had an injury his junior year in high school. Like many stories, was medicated with an opioid. Mm-hmm. And once he took it, he said he wanted that feeling for the rest of his life.
Because it takes the pain away. It takes the anxiety away.
Well, he said it was so euphoric. It's funny because I'm sorry I don't have the reporter's name, but she asked him and said, do you think if you hadn't had this experimental procedure done, you'd be here? He said that you'd probably be speaking to my parents because I wouldn't be here. And this is the thing. They followed his path for the past 2 years. So you saw him before he had the procedure, and then the post interview months later where you're like, I can't believe this is working. This is huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the reason why he went to WVU, Mike, and you're going to love this.
Yes.
Is he said that at West Virginia University, the opportunity to maneuver in a nimble fashion without any politics or issues or agendas that any larger institution may have presented him with such a unique path to success or failure at such a rapid rate that's why he chose to set up shop there.
That's amazing. And
like
I think that's wonderful news. And by the way, speaking of medications, I'm all for medications that exist that help. I'm on medications. Yep. And I've been very happy with the results I have.
10 years ago, you were twice the size.
No, I'm not talking about that kind of medication. I'm talking about the psychological medication.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the stigma of mental health in America has resulted in a lot of people going through a lot of pain. And I'm here to say there is no stigma for me with the fact that I take two medications. One's called Lexapro, the other's called Wellbutrin. I take one in the nighttime, and I take one during the daytime. And I have found them to be very helpful for me. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody, but that's a good thing. And modern medicine is a good thing. So I say salute. Now, I think back in the early days of my career, I probably took other medications that came in a bottle to compensate for the way I feel, and those did not work. And so, anyway,
and Mike, I can speak to that. Is that once you start drinking or whatever your choice is for escape, it eventually becomes not so much as an escape as it becomes ritual. You just think, well, I don't want to know what
it's called,
like
addiction.
What I'm saying.
Yeah,
and
it's not
so
a ritual. Ritual is almost religious. It's an addiction. You become addicted.
Yeah. But but what you're addicted to is the ritual of having a drink every night. And speaking for myself. Oscar.
Yeah, I understand that. But medically, to be clear, you're not addicted to the ritual. You're addicted to the substance.
I can only speak for myself. Because
one guy that's the person that's got the problem, and let's listen to what he has to say.
At least for me, this is what I can tell you, is that I don't miss drinking, but I miss what's surrounded by drinking. That's what's tough. I'm not affected if I'm around people who are having a few pops at like a bar or something. That doesn't bother me, but I miss being able to have a beer with them. It might.
What about when you did most of your heavy duty drinking, which was alone?
Which is by myself. Yeah. You see, I don't miss that.
Was there a ritual with that, though?
Sometimes there was the making of the drink. And if you do something like that involves some preparation, you enjoy that at the end of your day. It's something to look forward to. I know I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and I'm going to come home, and this is going to be my reward at the end of the day.
And have you ever felt during your sobriety, have you ever felt, had moments where you thought you might crack?
No.
It's interesting.
But there are times that I miss it. Like Christmas morning, everyone is not drinking to, kill themselves, but family's having mimosas. I'd like to have a mimosa, be social with my family. It's sort of a tradition in our family to do that on a Christmas morning. I missed it, but I didn't think about doing it. It never occurred to me. I don't dream about drinking. It was part of my life that I gave up. And I don't like being defined by it. The fact that, pardon me, that for that long, it was a significant part of my life. It was something I talked about on the show. It was something I looked forward to on each and every basis. And it wasn't so much the result of drinking that I looked forward to. It was sort of the process. So, yeah, Oscar, I can understand addiction, and I'm sure that I was addicted. And I am still, by all definitions, an alcoholic. But a big part for me was the ritual. And that's what I'm saying.
No, I can totally see that.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah, please.
We all have certain levels, right, of addiction, especially on the show. I mean, it's a byproduct of if we're being honest, of where we are in life. And by that, I mean, but the pandemic pushed a lot of people to drink more. Not pushed a lot of people. If you drank, you probably drank more during the pandemic.
True.
And you could do it without many realizing or even being judged, being like, oh, is that your 20th one? And then on the other end, you going through what you're going through opened up a lot of eyes, including my own, where I rarely drink now.
It's so different to see.
It's interesting. So I think you've saved lives, if anything.
I hope so.
And the conversation is not meant to put you down or
no. It's good to what Rob's done. I think he's very aware of the benefit that he's by making it very public what he's gone through to deal with that. And I think Oscar and I are both the same when it comes to that. To me, I view it all the time, and I think that you deal with people that in some cases don't have a lot of purpose down here, and I'm talking about older people down here, that get into communities that are very insular and in a bubble. And in many cases, they can engage in that social drinking without being worrying about getting on a road, blah, blah, blah. And it goes, and I see it. And I see the people, I won't mention names, and this is not an older person. There's not anybody that's a member of my circle down there that doesn't see this one individual and say, what the hell, he has been talked to and talked to and talked to, and it was on full display over the weekend in a tournament that I was playing in, and you say to yourself, What do you do? And my knowledge of it is, unless that person wants to change, you can't do a whole hell of a lot. You really can't. Outside of a family intervention, even that doesn't always work.
You slash your tires.
Yeah. It's just tough. Everybody's dealing with their own crap.
He's got himself in an environment down there that, whether or not it was established to be an ideal environment for drinkers,
I don't think there's a better environment on the planet
to be free of automobile driving.
Florida.
Yeah, it's what it's evolved into.
No, I'm talking about these golf communities that are drinking factories.
It's the thirstiest state in the nation.
It's evolved into that, and it allows it. And
I went from one place to the other, and I am here to say now that the other place was much more of a trigger for me than the new place.
Why do you suppose that is?
And I thank God for the volume that was consumed around me.
Price, what's volume, that? What did you say?
The cost per drink.
No, it was just that everybody would get housed a lot.
Yeah, told me when
once or twice a week in many cases.
During the pandemic, when you would tell us the stories, and this is before, we're all trying to find some silver lining in life.
Yeah. It was a dark time.
That you all would huddle up in the parking lot, distancing your golf carts.
Yeah, because we couldn't go in the clubhouse. We couldn't go in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
So they set up a tent outside to drink in.
Yeah, but just picturing all these guys in their golf carts or outside in the tent, which would be like a rally in the alley situation if you know D.C., put on by DC 101.
Right. Same environment.
Like, we got to find a way to drink together.
Yeah.
We got to find a way.
If I could go back in my life and remove all the apology tours that I've gone on in my life and feel, have days where I didn't have a hangover, I'd love to. I'd love to go back because never in my life, all of the really bad interpersonal events that have happened in my life, probably 90% of them had a connection to alcohol.
Sure.
And I can't wait till there's a pill that we just don't have to, think about it anymore.
Yeah, it's called cyanide.
As far as drink or do what?
Just worry about addiction for anybody. Like the idea that we can now this implant, which is in early stages, right, Mike?
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
Like that is the early stages of what will be eventually, a pacemaker or that glucose thing people get stuck on.
I'm having proof that modern medicine can change your life. I mean, I'm sit here every day. I sit here every single day and, I feel that I don't like the word miracle. I think it's overused in our society, but I think it's a wonderful advancement that I'm not sure in my life that I had the cojones, the will. I'm sure I didn't have the will. I'm 64. It's taken me a lifetime to do this, to lose weight without a little leg up. And the thing I fear more than anything is when I do get to where I want to be, what do I do then? That's scary. That's the scariest thing right now, because the bounce back is as I get closer and closer to my goal weight, I worry about that. Modern medicine's
the hardest thing, the people
that are out there, it does great things for people.
As we know, both of us, we've lost hundreds of pounds. We've put hundreds of pounds back on. The hardest thing in the world is to maintain. That's tricky, because if you want to stop losing weight is a mindset. Maintenance isn't, and it's weird. It's not anything I've ever been able to grab onto, so I understand that a whole bunch.
We'll see. I hope that there's more clarity on that down the road. Well, right now, I don't have to worry about it.
Let me just add one thing.
Please.
Shannon doesn't talk about it. She just doesn't. It's a dark and sad part of her life that she lost her father to alcoholism, And we're watching this, she hates, she puts up with my 60 minutes. We watch it after it's taped. This is after all the football, everything else. We watched it yesterday, right? And then she just sits there and she wonders, she's like, I wonder if that would have helped my dad.
That's very normal, very normal. About a myriad of medical advancements. I look at these commercials you see every day on TV for COPD, and I said, I wonder if that would have helped. But the addiction, which was, in his case, was nicotine, cigarettes, that's another common thing. It's not what it used to be, but man, you wonder. But that's what you do. You go on and you move on. I just hope that all of these things, that's why people go to school and pursue research education, and we don't, and I maintain to you, and this is what I want to get back to, we don't value it enough.
Yeah.
We don't value it.
We should
celebrate it. And I think down the road, I would hope, I don't know, because there's so many dystopian versions of societies. That's what we like to watch. Our futuristic movies are all Armageddon and surviving in a post-nuclear apocalyptic society. I think that I would love evolution of mankind to be well, that person is revered. That person
do
is
you
a
think,
superstar.
Mike, in your lifetime, and our lifetimes are pretty much concurrent. You're a little older than me, but it seems like a lot less lately. Do you think in your lifetime we had more of a respect for science and we've lost it recently, or has it always been something that we just don't appreciate?
I will go back and let's use the space program when I was
yes.
a kid.
Okay, this is an excellent example.
That was, you know, people really, really were, it was a national consciousness moment.
Yeah.
And I think not necessarily because it was intellectual as much as that, we're going to the moon.
Right.
But the bravery of the astronauts and the intellectual accomplishment of the scientists that worked for NASA and all that, I think it was put up there. You had more people in the public eye who were intellectuals, I think, that were valued. It doesn't happen anymore. You certainly had more intellectuals in our government.
Doesn't make government
any better, but we did.
Speaking of drinking, Jesus, I had one cocktail this past Wednesday.
Sinner.
Thursday.
I had more.
I had less.
At the Metropolitan Club.
Again, ooh, you went there?
Yes.
Have they let you in yet?
I don't think I'm even close to being nominated or invited.
Oscar, I called and asked them to invite
me. But I was recognized, which I appreciated, by the gentleman who opens the door and says hi to everybody, and by name, not me, but he said, hello again, sir. And I said, okay, I'll take that. but what's also great is when Charlie invites me, he
knows you love it.
Well, yeah, he knows I do, but it's not, our timing isn't always right. And most days I'm wearing a suit and no tie, right?
Right.
So he walked over, he saw, I'd wrapped up a meeting. He goes, what do you have left? It's literally like 6 p.m. I said, I just wrapped up my last call. And he said, do you have a tie? And I said, Metropolitan Club? He said.
His favorite place. You talk about it every time he takes you.
Like a child.
Yeah.
And he said, he goes, I'm leaving in 5. I said, I'll be ready.
Disneyland? So,
that's funny. So, I want to go.
Mike, you would love it. You would love it.
I'm a clubby kind of guy.
So we walk there.
Clubby.
I love that environment.
I'm speaking with one of his colleagues who I've met plenty of times. And he's just like a really nice guy and like witty and funny and just has this like dry humor. But I also play my position, so I don't really speak that much when I'm there. Maybe I should be more myself. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie has to leave early because he's got a different engagement, and we were still just, you know, engaged. And he said, do you mind, if Oscar stays with you guys, seem to be hitting it off. And he goes, absolutely. And like, you know, so I was like, I looked at Charlie. He goes, are you sure? He goes, absolutely. So Charlie had to go.
Were you nervous?
We weren't there for longer than an hour. No. Yes.
You're kind of I don't want to say sponsor, but your caretaker is leaving in this situation.
No, I think sponsor is right. I think it is actually.
Yeah.
So you're kind of on your own here.
I'm on my own, right?
That's when he has his fourth drink.
This is a club and a place where you can't text or call.
Right.
Like there's no, like when you're in there, you're in there. No looking at your phone, no texting, no.
What Oscar's talking about, it's a place where if you really want an example of exactly what it's like, I recommend the movie Eyes Wide Shut with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
To be fair,
Oscar, when Charlie came in and asked if you had a tie, what he really asked is, do you have a mask?
Will you please, Mike, just type it in and see what it says on Google, to be fair to because I don't want to mess you up. Yeah, don't burn me here.
No, it's an exclusive club that keeps sort of, I would say, the atmosphere of an exclusive club of, say, 50 or 60 years ago. And not that it's not modern, it's just got its roots set in tradition.
It's a private social club.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And
if you watch The Plumbers,
exclusive.
If you watch the movie, the miniseries The Plumbers on, I think that was on Max, whatever, yeah, the one about Watergate.
HBO.
They
talked
a lot about the social clubs in Washington, D.C. It used to be a much bigger deal, but some still exist. And they all have their own personalities.
It is a private club in the city of Washington. The New York Times called it Washington's oldest and most exclusive club.
Yeah, there you are.
I can give you more if you wish.
Please.
Let's see. Membership. For the first century of its existence, the members of the club refused to accept. I'm just reading it, but I now.
Yeah, we all have a past. It's fine.
Non-white
we all have past. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As members.
I clearly breached the perimeter. Things have changed.
They have quite a roster of
members.
Of people, yes. Admirals, CIA, Alan Dulles, the CIA director, a member of this. Let's see.
Mr. Dean, Airport?
Dean no, that's Atchison, John Foster Secretary Dulles. Of State. It's just on and on and on.
Willard Lots Scott?
Ulysses S. Grant, if you want to know the names here.
Wow.
Secretary of State, Herbert Hoover. Let's see.
Every president.
John F. Kennedy.
Yes.
Henry Kissinger. Goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
So this is a very exclusive.
Hi there, Charlie Burney. Thanks for coming in. Don't check your phone.
So you use the Simpsons impression.
That's all I got. Mike, I'm not you. Come on.
So I go full circle to share with you, as I'm speaking with this gentleman, he starts talking about how his father, and this is just a handful of people, helped establish NASA. And I said, NASA? He goes, yes. And then he went through the litany of scientists and Nobel Prize winners,
right?
That he grew up with and grew up around because of his father. And I sat there and he was explaining to me how, you know, NASA was set up and how when, as a kid, he would go to Goddard Space Center, but also be in Houston. And like, just, it was so fascinating to
me
that I was gobsmacked. I didn't even know what to say. I was blown away. And he was doing it in such a natural, thoughtful way to educate me that it just felt like the times where people were rewarded for just being smart and celebrating people being smart.
And
you know, Oscar, when you're in a situation like that, there is one way you can always reply to a situation like that is you look him in the eye, and it's important you make eye contact, and you say, I don't know about that.
I don't know nothing about that.
NASA. On the moon.
I don't know if we'll ever get there. It just seems so scary to me right now what we... And look, I think it's the human condition where there have always been a small group of people that pulled the strings and accomplished great things, and the rest of the rabble was down here celebrating the, you know, as I do, the guy that can throw a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. I think there's room for both, though. And my old man, God rest his soul, kind of showed me that. And I love that. And I think maybe if I could say one last thing about this, that's what he showed me, that you can listen to a symphony, you can sit down with a college professor, and then you can turn on a baseball game and you can bring it all in. There's so many different avenues you can travel down in this human condition. I just wish that there would be more room for people that are smart, because here's what I believe this with all my heart. When you don't value that in a society, it leaves the door open for where we are now, where facts really don't matter at all. Truth doesn't really matter at all. And that's, I think, when you get into trouble. And historically, if you go back and look at societies where you go back to a movie like Gladiator, keep the mob happy, show them death, keep the mob happy, keep them distracted, we're distracted now. Would you not agree? Is this one of the most distracted times in our society?
We are not, I am as guilty.
Yeah, so am I.
But the conversation where he said that he worked with James Webb, who helped establish NASA, and
the Webb Telescope.
Yes, and that's why it's called the Webb Telescope.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and then I'm watching, and I don't begrudge the way that we profile sports and who we celebrate with sports, but I got to tell you that I've spent so much time this past weekend looking at these new Apple goggles that are coming out on February 2nd.
I see you sitting in the Metropolitan Cup talking with this accomplished relative of scientists, and you're sitting there, oh, that's a great... I had no idea. I think it was Bachelor in Paradise where the individuals said to
it was
that.
The second
Rob,
Transformers
you timekeeper. We got to take a break here.
It is time to take a break.
And we will come back, and you're the time. You're the official timekeeper for
and
the
we're
Michael
good,
Mary
we're
show
good. I was about to break
today.
It.
Do you see the clock on your screen? There's a clock at the very bottom of your screen.
Hold on. I don't know about that. Oh, wow. I don't know if that's the right one.
That's
I'll let
time.
You know in a
yeah.
minute. We'll be right back, everybody. I don't know about that. What's your New Year's resolution? You probably want to tackle that ancient box of treasured videotapes and photos you've been meaning to preserve, but weren't sure where to start. Legacy Box makes it easy. Simply send in your Legacy Box filled with camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures. Then get back digital copies that can be easily enjoyed, shared, and organized. It's like magic. And by going to LegacyBox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 50% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. We've all used Legacy Box, and we all love it. It's like a time machine that takes you back, and it lasts forever. After 10 years in business, Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer, and it's all done right here in the USA. God bless America!
Yay!
Kick off the new year by rescuing your family's most cherished memories that haven't been watched or enjoyed in years. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS to save 50%. Buy today and send it in when you're ready. Just go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS again. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS. Yeah.
Look, the Kraken's wearing Apple goggles.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on, I got to get my thing out.
Could you wear your Apple goggles to the Metropolitan Club?
No, I couldn't, and I didn't bring them up. I'm actually embarrassed that I shared the fact that I've been looking at those goggles so many times.
What do they do? Well, I'm not even familiar with them.
I don't even know. I just want them.
They're fun.
Yes.
And isn't fun the best thing to have in the world?
Are they missing the opportunity of what they really should be called, which is eye goggles?
No, I think we all remember my dalliance with Google Glass, and I was in the Explorer program, but I was actually an asshole because it was called a glass hole. We all remember that.
I gave my son a $1 million Christmas present. Was those Meta goggle things that?
Yeah. Oh, that's very sweet of you.
The virtual reality VR.
Yeah.
And I gotta get my time in it. I have not had my time. I want to check it out. That's my diversion.
The end of the story of Oscar's experience with Google Glass was him asking me to give it to some guy in Leesburg.
Yeah.
He says, "Can you take these and give it to the guy at this address?"
Because he was using it for research.
Exactly. It was like a mapping agency, wasn't it?
Well, let's start the round table right now with speaking. Oh, I might want to turn that up a wee bit. Let me do that. Hold on just a second. How come that didn't make a sound? I'm just always...
I heard it, but that's it.
The 75th Emmys went down last night. Host Anthony Anderson, who I like, recruited his mama Doris to cut people off when their acceptance speeches went too long. Anybody? Did anybody watch?
Nope.
Did anybody look in? I'm on my second massive... award show. I went years watching
it's their
them.
Fault they striked.
I don't watch them anymore. In
Struck.
Recognition of the 75th
I'll never get into the club.
Emmy
never.
Awards, the Television Academy put together a ranking of the 75 most impactful TV moments. Here are the top 10. I'll start with 10. Carlin hosting the series premiere of Saturday Night Live on October 11th. I'll take that one.
Valid.
Number 9, the first ever music video airing on MTV. You know, of all time when you start remembering where you were when these things happened makes you feel old.
Sure.
Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles.
Buggles.
I remember
horrible
that.
Record. Horrible.
Number eight, the series. No, I liked Video Killed the Radio Star. You didn't
that? I didn't like that song. No,
Video Killed the Radio Star.
Well, because he loves radio.
Star.
He didn't want it to happen.
Number eight, the series finale of MASH. Number seven, episode 1065 of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, when Mr. Rogers invites Officer Clemens, who was black, to share a wading pool on a hot day. That aired May 9th, 1969. People forget what he did. That was a big deal
long
for society back then. Number six, Martin Luther King, that's as timely as today's headlines, delivering his iconic I Have a Dream speech at the March on Washington. That was August 28th, 1963. That was a great moment in our society, a horrible moment. Number five, CBS News anchor Walter Cronkite, with tears in his eyes, announcing the death of President John F. Kennedy. That was November 22nd, 1963. Number four, the premiere episode of the miniseries Roots in 1977. Everybody was talking about it back then.
Yep.
The Beatles' performance on the Ed Sullivan Show, 64. Number two, live coverage of the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center, September 11th, 2001. And at number one, 1969, Apollo 11 landed on the moon. Neil Armstrong said, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Had his act together, had something prepared, and it was pretty pretty amazing.
It's a shame you didn't get to number 11, which was my appearance on Crashing.
Yes, which was immediately canceled.
Immediately canceled because of my appearance.
Though, you did a great job. I hope they still have in reruns.
It's somewhere. On Max.
He still gets checks. Here are the Emmy winners in all popular categories. Outstanding Drama, Succession. You guys turn me on to that. I'll always be grateful. Outstanding Lead Actor in Succession, Kieran Culkin. Outstanding Lead Actress, Sarah Snook. Is that Shiv? Is that,
I believe so, yes.
Let me confirm.
Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama, Matthew McFadden, Succession.
Shiv, right.
Outstanding Supporting Actress, Jennifer Coolidge in The White Lotus. Makes me
good
laugh
for
even
her.
To say her name.
Yeah.
Outstanding Comedy Series, The Bear. Not quite sure why it's a comedy. Never
I
will
understand
I think
it's one of those
that.
Situations, Mike, where it was easier competition if they submitted as a comedy.
Okay. They also got lead actor Jeremy Allen White.
He's very
outstanding,
good.
Outstanding lead actress in a comedy, Quinta Brunson, Abbott Elementary. Supporting actor, Eben Moss Backrack in The Bear. Did I pronounce the first name? I don't know. Outstanding supporting actress in a comedy series, Ayo Edebiri. I'm probably massacring these names. Mm. Also, The Bear. Let's see. Limited series, Beef on Netflix. I tried it. Didn't care for it.
I
hit too close to home for you.
Mike. The road
it's about
rage.
Road rage.
Look in the mirror.
The instead of watching the Emmys,
it was about
I was
road rage. Now I remember.
I was binging Beef. And
You've binged beef a lot in your lifetime, haven't
you? Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. And not all meats, but it kind of is falling apart. I have one more episode to watch. I hope they can resolve it, because the first five, six episodes were brilliant.
Okay.
And then it gets kind of wacky. So we'll see. We'll see.
So then let me see. Blackbird, Paul Walter Hauser. Nisi was phenomenal. Nisi Nash Betts in Dahmer. Absolutely mm-hmm. astonishing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Glad she got the Emmy for that. Outstanding Variety Sketch Series. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. What is the deal with giving him the award every single time? That's a variety sketch show. I wish I could try. I think it's one note. I mean, I know I have to force myself to watch like five in a row.
I can't believe you don't track with it every week.
I should. It's like, because it's right up of the way he always does the same thing with the same tone and patter every single time. This is the way it goes. Every single time it's this way. And I get tired immediately of the delivery. That's probably the reason I'm doing it right now. Every single show is exactly the same. Sorry.
They should give it to Saturday Night Live every year just for attendance. It's been around forever.
Outstanding Variety Talk Series, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Outstanding Competition Program, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
Very popular.
Yes. Outstanding Host, RuPaul. Outstanding Variety Special, Elton John Live, Farewell from Dodger Stadium.
And that gave Elton his EGOT. Did you know that?
That's exciting.
Yeah, he got an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. So he's
very
up there.
Good. Mike,
before we move on, can I play briefly Kieran Culkin's acceptance speech? Because I think it's very good.
Yeah, I like it.
Very good. Yeah, okay.
And, of course, my beautiful wife, Jazz, thank you for sharing your life with me and for giving me two amazing kids, Zisu and Wilder Wolf. I love you so many and so much. And, Jazz, I want more.
Aww. Oh, yay.
You said maybe if I win. I love you so much. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Glad to see him win. He's
Hulk Hogan hasn't seen any action in the ring in years, but he got to play the hero on the highways of Tampa, Florida on Sunday night. A good story out of my sunshine state where there hasn't been sun for 2 months. Hulk, his wife Sky Daly, and a friend named Jake, who just happens to be a Marine, witnessed a pretty wild accident. It is, I must say, bat-ass craziness down here. Might talk about it later. A car up ahead of them swerved to make an exit. It was about to miss, but it crashed into another car, which ended up upside down on the road. The driver of the overturned vehicle, a 17-year-old girl, Hulk, and Jake raced to the scene, popped her airbag, and they didn't need to do that.
Mike, he's talking about the thing on the car.
Okay.
Yeah, it saved her life.
And helped get her seatbelt off so she could get out. I'm not a good person. I'm sorry. I'm just not a good person.
And you know how painful that can be.
Sounds like she's going to be okay, which is good news. Isn't it? Yeah. That's good news, isn't it?
I don't know about that.
Social media is obsessed with an old study from 2016 that found you're more likely to be a psychopath if you enjoy things that are bitter. Black coffee, dark chocolate, gin and tonics.
Oh.
Hi, I'm a psychopath. Yeah, I drink my coffee black now that I drink it. It looked at the food and drink preferences of 1,000 Americans and at personality traits like how narcissistic, aggressive, and sadistic they were. It found people who like bitter stuff are more likely to have the types of antisocial qualities psychopaths have. And they were more likely to take pleasure in seeing other people suffer. When they're right, they're right.
No, I was thinking about that when I was having my breakfast this morning, which was limes.
No, that people suffering thing, not me. If you're listening to this while enjoying a square of dark chocolate and washing it down with black coffee, don't worry. Too much liking that stuff doesn't always mean you're a psycho. So isn't that special?
That's
isn't
great.
That wonderful. Isn't that great? I don't know about that. Three times on the show today. Finally, an Arizona fire department said it was a rooftop rodeo.
What?
That sounds like such Channel 4 news at 4.
It sounds like a promotion on the morning zoo.
A rooftop rodeo when firefighters were called to rescue a pet goat that found its way onto the roof at of a home and became stranded.
Up on the roof.
The Glendale Fire Department said in a Facebook post the firefighters were called to lend a helping hoof when an adventurous goat ended up a little too high on a home. Photos from the rooftop rodeo show firefighters climbing up on the roof to bring the goat back down to earth. Hey, how about that? The goat was reunited with its owner. The goat's name, Tom Brady. Thank you. The goat's name for all sports. Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Big Poppy. I put that in for myself. And here's a wild card. The goat's name was Joey Chestnut.
Hey, how about that?
I'm an idiot.
Not William Stillwell.
William Stillwell, the goat. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. Don't remember. I'm sorry. Not don't remember yourself. Yeah. Did I put anything in my liquid IV today? No, I just put the goodness of sugar-free lemon-lime liquid IV into my wonderful red.
Not bitter at all, Mike.
Chalice.
Mmm.
My red chalice.
Yes, the grail. Your Pizza Hut grail.
That's such lemony goodness. It's such a wonderful... You know, there are a lot of lemon limes out there, people. There is a lemon lime quality to the liquid IV that I never tire of. I never tire of it. That's why I drink it every day. I drink it everywhere I go. Rehydrate yourself with liquid IV. It hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, all in a single delicious stick. Now, when they say stick, let me be clear about that. It's a little mini pouch. and you put it into your water, mm-hmm. and you can feel like a hydrated new you. Ready to take on 2024? Liquid IV has three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. So good and so easy. Just add it to your water bottle, shake it up, and go. White peach, green grape are my favorite. I'm drinking it right now. Lemon lime. Love them all. You'll be very, very happy to make it a Liquid IV 2024 and be the best that you can be. I got the lemony. Got the lemony mouth. Rehydrate yourself for the new year. Grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or do what I do. Get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Thank you. That's done. All right. Now let me tell you this. Hats, people. The TMOS store is a rockin' and a rollin'. And we are perhaps going to have a finished example for you this week.
A prototype.
The TMOS hats. And
it's a working prototype.
It might be even more than that because we got them ordered. They're all getting
the final product.
It's a brand new product. So go to the embroiderer with my lovely bride. And
I have to imagine it's not easy to find an embroiderer because it's sort of a lost art, isn't it? I mean, are there a lot of them around?
It is not easy to find an embroiderer unless you have a wife who has embroidered lots of different things for her business.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you'd be also very surprised that there are, and they're pretty much everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Just type it in. Yeah,
they're like
everywhere.
Nail salons.
Yes.
Oh, they're
and
not
they're
like
competitive,
that.
Which is good
No,
news.
I'm serious. Like, if you typed into your phone right now, embroidery,
yeah.
boom. You have like 10
yeah.
within driving distance.
They're a lot around. Huh.
Okay.
So Mrs. O'Mara, as Oscar will tell you, has been a whirling dervish. Rob, you will too. You've seen her presence online. She has been all over it. She lives by it. She's
killing it.
She's really doing a great job with it.
Yes.
But there was a moment of communication where I believe I was welcomed into this procedure. Now, Rob and Oscar have learned a long time ago that putting me in an equation of something for the show is not always prudent. I somehow have been labeled a distraction.
Never a distraction. No.
Adding tension to the situation.
Yes, that.
You're not patient. I don't know if that's changed. Maybe it has with the meds.
No, but I was on the meds when you were down here putting the studio in.
No, yeah,
but you know
patient.
What? We were able to keep
No, you were more patient then, but
yeah, we were able to keep him busy. Remember when we gave him
The only time you yeah, but you weren't now when you cursed out and sent to HE double hockey sticks the 3M corporation.
Yeah, the entire
for
corporation.
No reason.
Yeah.
That was interesting. So yeah. you did melt down.
Well, I will tell you this, that when it comes to the part that I did, the garage wall.
Yeah.
Fail.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I thought
no.
it worked.
Why?
It's just falling apart.
Oh, is it keeping out the heat?
Yeah, I mean,
it was supposed to absorb sound.
I think it does. I think the sound in here is phenomenal. I'm very delighted with the sound.
But
there are couples that are just hanging out, and I wish there was something better, but there's not. So,
over, I guess, softer than the Manassas days where we asked you to actually leave the home.
Leave the home because you're stressing us out.
Yeah.
We get to the embroiderer, and there's just a disconnect. There's a disconnect between me and my wife about what I want and what she wants, and we go back and forth. And it finally got down to we settle on what the hat's going to be. It's nothing all that unusual. It's very similar. You've seen them before. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. It's really going to be better, and it's going to be exciting.
Better than anything we've had before.
Sure.
The thing is, though, there are the colors are red, black, white, blue, gray. And at this point, we start doing red on white, black on white, white on black, and we're going back and forth. And Carla loses the concept of that. And we're going back and forth. And this goes on to an extent where I look at her with that I don't do the I'm going to kill you look like I used to, but it's like I'm
good
looking
for
at her
you.
Like,
yeah.
Like where I can't force.
Why did you go with her?
Because I wanted input on
you wanted to give
the hats.
Input. Okay, gotcha.
And you, Oscar, will be happy to know that my idea that I mentioned briefly is no longer the idea we're using.
No, I didn't. I'm not poo-pooing your
ideas.
No,
but I mean, I wanted maybe a script thing. It did not work.
Yeah.
It didn't work at all. Yeah. And I think that people are going to be very happy. Look, you'll know, hopefully, Thursday of this week, you will be able to tell me what you think.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
You mentioned that Carla lost the concept or the reason for being there. How did she do that? Because it seems like it was a pretty focused...
She was just a little spacey for that moment, and this was the one... What Carla knows how to do is Carla knows how to do customer service. Carla knows how to do marketing. Carla knows how to promote things that we have, and that's what she's good at. Carla also, you know,
Carla knows how to love you.
That's she knows how to love me. Fine.
She knows how to work out.
She couldn't today because of the traffic. There was an accident down here because they're all here. And I've never seen traffic like this. I think we may have flipped overnight to Northern Virginia, but I don't know. Los Angeles, but I don't know.
That's a big change.
So it got done, and I think it's going to be good, but it was just a bit. I don't want to say it was lack of interest, but it was an area where I like all the fluffy stuff. I like the way it's going to look and the color schemes and all that, where she is more like, you know, do it. But then she redeemed herself because she did all the negotiating with the guy and got it the way she wanted to. And the guy, Daniel, is a good dude. He's got a huge operation down here.
Damn, Daniel.
We're very, very happy about our hats. And, you know.
Thursday. Do they hit the store Thursday or do we get to see him Thursday?
You get to see him Thursday. They'll hit the store next week.
Like a peep show.
Yes.
They will definitely hit the store next week. And I'm very, very excited about it. And good luck to that. I don't know about that. We'll take a break
and
we'll come back with a cuisine that sucks.
Oh, good.
But not the way you may think.
Oh.
I'll tell you about that when we come back. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike Romero Show. Everybody got a hey. I was just talking about the store. It's under new management. Guess what? I've rubbed her feet because she beat me at trouble. And guess what? She rubbed mine because I beat her at trouble last night. We always wash our hands before handling the merchandise.
What?
Always. So visit our store. Without hesitation. It's open 24 hours, but wait, there's more. New merch options will be arriving very, very soon. Well, we just told you about them. Like the limited edition hats, we just told you about those.
Yes.
They're coming soon, and if you miss out, you'll be salty. Keep visiting TMOSstore.com and share the TMOS gospel. Grab your TMOS gear and support the show you love. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming. TMOSstore.com, the source for all things TMOS. Official, authentic, and awesome. Thank you for your support, and remember our motto.
If you don't buy it, we won't sell it.
Very good.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. Italian food.
Oh, no.
Well, Italian food is, first of all, how could you even go wrong?
Yeah, it's the best.
That's the issue. You can go wrong. You can go very wrong because like everything else, like Chinese food, like German food, like Korean food, like any cuisine, French food, there's a lot out there. But with Italian food, there's a lot more out there, and especially down here, because these Iowans like their Italian. They love their Italian food.
They're Indianans.
These Indianans,
yes.
These Michiganites like their Italian food. They like it. But they don't care whether it's good or not. So, unfortunately, there is just a bountiful supply, but the quality control is not always stunning. Yeah. And that's why when Carla said the Italian place across the street is really worthwhile, it's not. And as I'm eating my veal parm, my treat meal of the week, the one meal I give myself each week that I throw caution to the wind, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is that good. And she goes, no, it isn't. I said, you're the one that recommended it. And it became aware to me that I've had a lot of Italian food down here that just isn't all that great. And I think Italian food is like any other food. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to be good.
Right.
It has to be homemade. And the Italian food.
But Mike, is it the situation?
You hold on, chicken fingers. Let me finish my statement here. The Italian food that I ate, it came. There are a lot of cans involved in it, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
All right?
Mike, and is it the situation down there where they would say, this place is awful food, and then the other person says yes?
Yeah.
In such small portions.
1,000%. 1,000%. People would recommend it highly, and it's low-grade dog food. You know?
Yes.
There's too much of it. Too many people slinging it. Too many people that aren't Italian, that aren't using their mama's recipe, that are are slinging it out.
Bad gravy,
Mike. I'm not a fan. And by the way, you know who we need? The guy that was obsessed with his own birthday. We need Paulie Christine to give us some recos, because you look at his food and his Italian food,
he's triple OGs, like living in Little Italy.
That's
you can't fight that.
Yeah. But why can't we have that everywhere?
Well, you can if you have a local Domino's. All these pasta bowls available.
Domino's. Oh, God.
You get the Italian sausage and marinara, or the chicken carbonara, or the pasta primavera, whatever you want.
Yeah, when you're here, you're like family. No, I don't buy into that.
Point of order, he wanted a chocolate cake for his birthday, and he got it.
Christine?
Yes.
Well, you know,
happy birthday, Paul.
Yeah,
happy birthday,
Paul.
Blair. We're very, very, is it Blair?
It is Paulie, quotation marks, Blair.
Paul Blair Christine.
Yeah, I don't know what the Blair means.
23 years old.
Chicken Alfredo. Build your own pasta bowl.
See, there's Chicken Alfredo. You can put Cheese Whiz on that. Yeah. And just throw a overcooked noodle into a cauldron of cheese.
Well, okay.
Yes.
Give me your top three chain Italian restaurants.
They are so limited, I can actually do chain? No, I don't want to do chain. I want to go back.
O'Mara, party of two.
I'm over here now.
Hey. Oh. Oh.
That was an Italian.
I don't recognize this
kidding.
Italian food.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
That's the Italian food. Hey. I go back to a restaurant in Bethesda, Maryland. It might still be there. It was, and by the way, it's not the only one with this name. Mm-hmm. There was a place called the Pines of Rome that was the linguine with the white clam sauce would curl your hair. Now, I don't discount a chain either. I have had reasonably decent. And you'll find red sauces are not my forte. I am not a big red sauce guy, because I think red sauce, everybody has it. You like the chain restaurants, Oscar. What's your favorite Italian chain restaurant?
Well, I mean, your go-to would be the one that, Manassas had a variety of options, if you remember.
Shocker with that one.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because is it Route 28?
Do you remember the one right across the street from WJFK in the old Fairfax location?
Oh, the Italian cafe, wasn't it?
Dolce Vita.
Oh, Dolce Vita on the other side. That place was great.
Spectacular.
Really good. And it looked like it would be horrible, but it was sensational.
Yeah. It's like in a little old building.
The Macaroni Grill.
Macaroni Grill is a good chain.
Macaroni Grill as a chain.
My number one guy.
I would tell you my number one seed.
I thought Buca. The Beppo would be
Buca de Beppo would probably be a tie with the Macaroni Grill. Same kind of concept.
I have never been to an Olive Garden.
Ever?
Ever.
When I worked in Manassas, that was our go-to, and I never really disappointed. It was fine.
When I hung out with Porno Dan, I used to go to the rib joint, Famous Dave's, that chain. And
Famous Dave's is still alive.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And
down here, you got one down here. It's next to the bowling alley.
When you went to the rib place with Porno Dan, were you allowed to eat, or did you just have to watch him eat?
Not a happy time in my life.
Bad, dark time.
Not a very dark time in my life. Hung around some very interesting characters.
Would you guys eat and then work, or work and then eat?
I think it was a regularly scheduled, Tuesday evening. for like a bunch of single guys, and I was not married. I was not in my marriage at the time, and it was just.
I remember the motto is as they were bringing the bill, Dan would always say, "Don't forget the wet naps."
It was lovely, but anyway. Right. So Macaroni Grill, is Macaroni Grill still a thing?
Is there still one in Fairfax?
Oh, I can look that up. Please.
All right, well, no, don't bother. We don't need it.
You can write on the table with crayons. I don't know about that.
Yeah, and I also don't believe in overpriced Italian food either. Don't believe in that because the ingredients are the ingredients, no matter what. And you don't need to overprice things unless you're going to throw like a really expensive chop. And I don't like Italian chop houses anyway. Don't like.
Do you know enough about the meat to know if it's worth what you're about to eat?
Like the meat. I think no, because if you are, if you go to a and they call them red sauce joints, all right, red sauce. Yeah. All right, you're talking about your spaghetti and meatballs. You're talking about your veal parm. The veal, you know, you pound it out. It's a pounded out veal, and you bread it and you fry it, and that's it. But I'm talking about what it really comes down to is the sauce, the gravy. That's what it is, and you can tell the difference if somebody takes love and care and puts out something fantastic. And it can be as simple as something you dip your calamari into, and it can be as elaborate as putting a fra diavolo out there. But just beware, there's a lot of crappy Italian out there.
The best Italian meals I've ever had have been in Charm City.
Baltimore, Little Italy.
Little Italy, where we would go on a regular basis.
Right.
And not because I was choosing, it's because somebody that, you know, probably one of my bosses at the time was like, this is where we're going. Mm-hmm. And I just remember feeling like I was in someone's home.
Yeah.
Because it tasted so good. I was like, this is amazing.
I remember the best meal I ever ate in Baltimore's Little Italy. It was a dish called Raven Parmigiana. It was really, really good. Yeah, it had a little purple and black flag, and it was delicious. Tasted just like chicken. Really, really good. Go Ravens.
There you go. I had a good place up there. Pollock Luigi.
You had to top me, didn't you? You had to top me. You just can't help yourself. We'll be right back. Greedy Mr. Man. Let's continue. Ladies and gentlemen, where are you? Hiding on me?
I'm over here now.
I'm over here now.
If you want to lose 21% of your weight, I've lost 70 pounds, and I'm excited to share with you the DermGlowSkin.com. Now your one-stop shop for finally getting control of your weight problem. All you have to do is click the weight loss button at DermGlowSkin.com, take the quiz, and see if you qualify. A doctor will write you a prescription. Just got mine refilled. And if you're sick of waiting for your medication because of availability, now hear this. At DermGlow, your medication is always in stock and ready to ship. No waiting. So do this today if you are already on it. Do what I did. You can show the doc your prescription, easily make the switch. To date, I've lost so much weight that my new pajamas only have one stripe. I did not. This is Mike O'Mara, and I did not write that.
I did. I'm Rob Spiewak, and I wrote that.
I'm talking thin, Arthur. So go ahead, get excited, and do it all online right now at DermGlowSkin.com. If you struggle with weight for too long, click the weight loss button and begin the best journey of your life. Make 2024 the year you finally reach your goal. With DermGlow, you can do it.
Hello.
Roll over.
Rolling.
Let me roll.
The flip side.
Mike, this made me think of Oscar. Yes.
Just briefly.
Just brief.
70 pounds, one common, and this is from medium.com, a reputable source.
Yes.
And it says, a common object that weighs 70 pounds is a full-size golden retriever. Congratulations.
That's great.
You know, it's funny because ultimately I will be a little under 100 pounds if I reach my goal weight. Uh-huh. And I was kind of thinking things that are 100 pounds. You know, because remember when Oprah lost 50 pounds and
she brought all that meat out. Yeah.
At the same time, and I don't want to feel like I'm psychologically messed up here, I will look at pictures of myself, even when I'm sitting here right now, in the mirror. I feel so much better than I do sometimes when I look at this picture because I feel as though it doesn't translate.
Your face is much skinnier.
It is thinner.
It's so much thinner. And not in a bad way. Like you can tell right away. You're like, okay, this man's lost a lot of weight. One more thing before we go to the flip side. Bags of concrete mix. If you're doing a DIY project, a couple of bags of concrete mix for your backyard project could weigh around 70 pounds.
70 pounds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel
I remember when a fertilizer used to come in 80-pound bags.
It's back when you were bomb making, right?
Yeah, right. But, you know, they keep
you
an eye on
me. You and that guy, Ted.
Yeah, but it was so much. It was a pain in the ass just to move them. And when I think of something that's 70 pounds, you have to carry around all the time, no options.
Yeah.
No wonder you feel better.
Carrie, can you come down to the basement, please?
As you know, I was brought up on a struggling farm. We were young sharecroppers.
Yep, I get it.
Mike, I thought of you. When you went to the game, did they just throw rubber ducks on the ice at the hockey game, or was it stuffed animals?
Well, what are you talking about? There are different arenas that throw different things. It used to be
an
octopus.
Teddy bear toss.
Okay.
Yeah. Teddy bear toss was stuffed animals. Nobody threw rubber chickens.
Okay, well, they broke a record in Hershey, Pennsylvania. The Hershey Bears had a teddy bear toss.
Great AHL club.
And this was amazing. They were allowed to throw their stuffed animals after the first time the Bears scored a goal. Now, this is
That's
sort
how
of a
it works
risk.
For us down here with the Everblades, too.
Because if they don't score, you don't get to throw. But they scored.
No, hold on. If you don't score, I think there's a workaround with that. I think that they at the end of the game, you throw them a 1, 2, 3, and that's that. But not sure there's a way.
More exciting
it's not like all
way.
The people that show up with stuffed animals go home with their stuffed animals and the kids don't get toys.
You got to donate them. Yeah,
I thought there was a trade.
Yeah. Rob's fantasy is like, they didn't score, so good night, everybody. Take them back home to the children, to the privileged
children.
Next
time, you losers.
Well, the Hershey Bears did this, and as you know, all donated animals, all thrown stuffed animals, go to underprivileged children. They got 74,599 of them.
Beautiful.
Oh, well, the fan slipped to center. Christie will glove it with his man in deep.
I love
He'll play it back to his own zone. Hominacto up in the middle, Trinyea trying to split the defense. Wobbling puck right wing. He's gone!
Here it comes. Get him
this
out there.
The sweet cuddly mayhem commence. Bogdan Trinyea scores the teddy bear toss.
I love a teddy bear toss. There's nothing better if you've never been to one. I love it, love it, love it.
I love the cartoon size ones.
Yeah.
I mean,
those are hard to get over the glass, Oscar.
You know, I've been able to be a part of it a handful of times here, but, you know, this doesn't get old. So, you know, watching these bears come.
That's amazing.
You know, I heard something earlier that they're trying to get over 90,000 and they're still flying. Just looking at what a sight. It's unbelievable.
Where do you want to go?
Yeah, the weird
they got it down
is,
to a system, too. They scoop them up, put them in plastic bags. That's what they do.
Don't bring a real doll, though. It's no one appreciates that. That's the wrong thing.
No, it's also heavy.
And the plastic crack.
Hurt your back.
Mike, that's what originally hurt Oscar's back. I forgot about that. So, Mike, his name
That's the fable. Yes.
It is a fable. It's a cautionary
Oscar went to a teddy bear toss, threw his back out, never went again. Never
throwing a real doll over the glass.
Real doll. A real one of the heavy-duty latex ones.
Well, his name is Albert. He's a camel. And the rule is, if you live on an animal reserve, lock the door.
Mm.
And then this happens.
I'm going to need my suit.
Albert's in the kitchen.
Oh, he's broken glass. It's just ceramics. Well, can we get him out of here, please?
That's the ass of the camel?
Albert.
Yeah, well, they're going to see his face in a second. He went in the kitchen looking for soup.
Albert, come on, sweetheart. Out of the kitchen. Oh, my
Look
goodness.
At that hump.
He's going to cry.
Hey, we're doing
come
a show
here,
you don't need to come on.
Let's go.
All right.
Out.
This is great. Just like, oh, I'm just hanging out.
Yeah, he's just a camel inside.
Can I get some soup?
Please, sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
Come on. Come on. Listen to your daddy. Let's go. Come on. Good boy.
Where's its toe?
Good boy.
Oh.
Good boy. You want an apple? Did you get the soup?
Show your toe.
I love you, but you gotta stop doing that. Please.
They are filthy animals. I would not want one in my house.
What do you mean? When have you been around a camel?
At a petting zoo.
Okay.
I've seen them spit.
Really?
Yes.
You don't like camels. This is one of your things. One of your, like, bats and all the other
Why
things.
Do you hate camels?
They're
camels
dirty.
Are supposed to be nice.
No, and they smell. I remember a smell. Did you see, there's a series on, I think it's Netflix, called Obliterated, that I highly recommend. It's a lot of fun, action-adventure about a elite team that has to stop a bombing. But
in Las Vegas?
Yeah. And they're,
it's terrible.
It's not terrible.
Me?
I loved it.
Oh,
but they have a wild party.
So dumb.
They have a wild party and there's a camel there.
There is a camel in the party,
which is,
yes,
made me think of that.
All right, I get it.
So, Mike, mm-hmm, there's that. In addition to the Emmy Awards that no one watched, also, no one watched the Critics' Choice Awards.
No.
And there was one moment over the weekend that I really enjoyed. Robert Downey Jr. won the Critics' Choice Award for Best Actor, Oppenheimer. And he came up to the Critics' Choice Awards and read what the critics wrote about him over the years.
You know, I was just thinking this morning, I just love critics. Critics Choice Association, you know, they've given me such beautiful feedback, really just so many great moments, and some of it's so poetic. I just want to share some of their thoughts with you.
That's awesome. Good move.
Over the year.
Love it.
The first one's kind of like haiku. Sloppy, messy, and lazy. The next one's more metaphoric. Like Pee Wee Herman emerging from a coma. This was from a Brit. A puzzling waste of talent. And lastly, in this one lingered, amusing as a bedlocked fart. Oh.
So congratulations to Robert Downey Jr. I'm like still that. A big fan.
Mm-hmm.
An embarrassing moment for Madonna. You know, no secret that Madonna's getting a little older, and sometimes the memory goes. She was in Toronto performing, which is nice to do a nice show for the people of Canada, except when you yell this.
Are you ready, Boston?
Are you ready, Boston?
Are you ready, Toronto?
All those hotels look the same, buddy. Hey, look,
I know.
I'm not going to slam Madonna for that. You know what? You're on the road. That happens to the youngest people that tour. They don't know where the hell they are. They get in a bus. They get in a plane.
Well,
you know, that's
yeah, don't
it.
They usually have that little piece of tape that says what city yeah. you're home? You're about to walk out.
I've seen that on
right?
stage.
Yes.
I saw that at Lynyrd Skynyrd. I saw Washington, D.C. I
yes.
saw that.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
Under that, it also said breathe.
Breathe.
They need reminders for everything.
Breathe now.
Let us close with this. Tonight, following Colbert, they have a new show, and it's hosted by someone named Taylor Tomlinson. She's
YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube star. Yeah. She did a thing that was very popular on YouTube called Ick or Not Ick, or Ick or No Ick, where she would give you a behavior. Say, what if you're dating someone who claps, applauds when a plane lands. Is that ick or no ick?
That's funny.
But anyway, I went finding some of her stand-up, and I think she's pretty funny.
I am halfway through my 20s, and I am done. Oh, my God, I'm sick of my 20s. I'm so sick of people telling me to enjoy them. They're not fun. They are 10 years of asking yourself, will I outgrow this, or is it a problem? Like, is this a phase or a demon? I just need to know. Like, am I fun or should I go to a meeting? Someone help me.
Turns out you can be both. Yeah. That's all I got for you today, Mike.
That's kind of a nice bow. It came full circle on the show today. I like that. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And hey, go Bills, Jimmy.
Yay, go. Jimmy.
Go
Let's
Lions.
Go Buffalo.
It's going to be, if it's a Lions-Bills Super Bowl, I got news for you. It's going to be conflict in the O'Mara house. I'm on Team Detroit. I can't help myself. You got to love those long-suffering
fans.
What
roots do you have for Detroit?
I like to long-suffering because I relate as a Boston Red Sox fan.
But you allegiance to Jimmy.
Yeah, but okay. he loves Motown Records.
You'll be happy to know my wife and son are both Team Buffalo. So hey, well, there's a lot of football
I'm
to
team
play,
Baltimore.
Right? There's a, you know, it could be the Green Bay Packers against the Baltimore Ravens. You never know what's going to happen.
I can't wait for next year for the Commanders.
Are you Team Ravens, by the way, Oscar?
Of course.
Okay, yeah. Good for you.
Doesn't change.
We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody, and have a great day.
Oh, so long.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Get out! You don't know I'm good enough! Piss off!
Where are you going?
Going upstairs. Because I'm going to put my nuts hat on your drum set. Okay?
Do that. I am warning you right now, if you touch my drums, I will stab you in the neck with a knife.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.